Wir gerne sehen, was ist los? It's deinen Freundo, Seth. I'm learning German. Yeah, in case you didn't know what that was. That is me trying to impress you with the little German that I know. Right now, I am actually learning German. I took it in high school. I goofed off the entire time. I did some other language learning apps. They taught me things like where the taxi stand is and how to find a bus, but not a lot of conversational German. Thankfully, that's what Babbel is all about. Babbel teaches you language conversationally, which, let's face it, that is what you want to know anyway. I don't know. When I was in school, you learned like how to count. You learned like the colors. You learned the shapes. Those are all important things, but they don't help you when you're in like Cologne, Germany with Ein Nierenstein, which, by the way, is German for kidney stone, an experience I can unfortunately speak personally to. But I've been using Babbel to learn to speak German again, better than I have before. I actually really like it because it is conversational. It's a little bit more relaxed. One of the things that it does that I really like is it'll sometimes show you what the literal English translation is. And I don't know why, but I find that very helpful in sort of understanding the structure, the grammar of a language, and sort of putting myself into that mind space. Since I'm only in Germany for Gamescom, which is like a week, week and a half, I'm not immersed in the German language. I'm not immersed in German culture. So what I do is the second best thing. I'm taking Babbel. Hopefully this year when I go to Germany, I'll be able to impress all the Germans with how much German I know from learning through Babbel. The app has pronunciation recognition, so you'll be able to learn how to speak better with your accent, how to actually properly pronounce the words. That way you won't get made fun of by a group of older German men because you said apple strudel and not Apfelstrudel. No, it's really cool. I'm going to say right now there is a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now you can get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners, because you guys are the best ones, by the way, at babbel.com/realm. Get 60% off at babbel.com/realm. That is spelled babbel.com/realm. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
What is up, Super Ninfriendos? Welcome to episode 675 of Nintendo Voice Chat. I'm your host, Seth Macy, except I'm not Seth Macy. You got me. It's actually Reb Ballantyne. Seth is out at Gamescom right now, and I'm taking over for him with some fabulous friends. I'm joined today here in the studio in San Francisco by Kat Bailey.
Hello.
Travis Northup.
Hello.
And far, far away somewhere, Brendan Graber. Hi.
Hello. I'm like a couple miles away. It's fine.
We should have gotten you in here.
Yeah, there's a fire nearby, so maybe not.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Okay, well, maybe not. I'm glad you're okay and not on fire. I'm glad you're here.
Yay.
We've got so much to talk about today, and we are going to start off with maybe probably the biggest Nintendo news of the week, and maybe a little sad news. Charles Martinet announced with Nintendo on Monday that he is no longer going to voice Mario and his friends, starting with Super Mario Brothers Wonder. We have a statement from Nintendo about it, a very sweet statement. You know, Charles Martinet has been voicing him as far back as Super Mario 64, and he's moving into a new role that they are calling Mario Ambassador. Not sure what that means, but you know, they sent him off with this lovely message and a thank you. They're going to do a video later with Charles Martinet and Shigeru Miyamoto to sort of say goodbye. But yeah, how What? This is sad. It's kind of a bummer.
Very.
Chris Pratt's the new Mario.
No. Yes.
Put him in everything.
No. Why is that the go-to response?
Someone pointed out that the last voice for Mario, or the voice he did in the Mario movie, was as Mario's dad.
Yes.
Saying, yeah, those are my boys.
I was about to say that. Right. It was a cameo where he wasn't playing Mario. Yeah, that was his last performance.
But he's like passing the torch on away in that scene. I'm just like, oh.
Yeah.
I'm tearing up a little bit. Don't do this.
Is he retiring? Did he get too expensive? Like, what happened?
I mean, look, I've seen a lot of, like, people are getting a little conspiracy theory-ish with this. Yeah. The dude's what, like, 60-something? 60? Yeah. I think someone said he's 67. I'm going to have to fact-check that later. But he's, like, in his 60s. Like, he's retirement age, people. Like,
he said last year, though, he's like, oh, I want to voice Mario till I die. And I don't know what happened between then and now.
So, what this reminds me of? Deep cut. The Minnesota Vikings used to have this guy. He was like a janitor or something, but he would put on the Vikings outfit and he became their de facto mascot. He would ride around on a motorcycle. He was kind of a crazy person. It was fun, right?
Yeah.
And then he demanded too much money and the Vikings basically fired him. And he made social media videos about like how sad he was. And then he committed the ultimate sin. He made a video saying, "Go Packers," and it was over.
Wow.
So
what do you think Charles Martinet is going to make a video saying, "Go Sega"?
Go Sega. Sonic. Sega friendship ended with Mario. Sonic is my new best friend, basically, is what maybe that would be the equivalent situation. But no, I think that it is sad because, of course, Charles Martinet defined the role of Mario in so many ways. When you think of Mario, you think of the voice.
Yeah.
And
Wahoo!
And it's hard to give a character personality when they don't really have spoken lines in most things. They're just making exclamations and such. So it does feel like an end of an era for Nintendo in so many ways.
Yeah.
He's going to all the early Mario stuff, like back in like the 80s, like the Super Mario cartoon show, the old Mario movie. Like, it was always like a really gruff, like stereotypical Italian plumber voice. Is like, "Oh, it's me, Mario." And like Charles Martinet just took that one, like, no, I want to make something that's lighthearted, family, like little kids, like, "Hey, what's up, kids?" Like, and it totally stuck and it worked. And it was completely opposite of what we had heard like with early Nintendo stuff before that. And that's going to be hard to kind of like see the next step. Like, are they gonna keep trying to have that, like, I'm all like family friendly upbeat Mario, or are they gonna have like a, you know, a gruffer Mario, or just try and have like a look-alike or sound alike, I guess, in this case? I don't know.
Yeah,
so there were a lot of people who sort of picked up on the change early online because we had the trailer for Mario Wonder, and I think maybe like one other game people were sort of noticing, hey, this sounds like a little bit off, but it did still sound like it was recognizable as Mario. My sort of galaxy brain theory is that this was just sort of, it was useful timing for everyone involved. Like Martinet's getting older. Voice acting is work. Voice acting is like very challenging, strenuous work. I mean, even if he is just doing the same exclamations kind of over and over, and I assume they reuse recordings on a regular basis, like it's still quite a bit of labor for an older guy. And so sort of him being able to sort of gracefully retire around the same time as the Mario movie is happening, and we are, for the first time in a very long time since the days of the gruff plumber, being confronted with a Mario that does speak, like, complete sentences. And I don't think they're going to replace him with Chris Pratt, but I do think it's an opportunity to sort of change, not the way Mario fundamentally sounds, because Mario has a very specific vibe to him that I don't think they're going to walk away from, but it's sort of a door opening to maybe let Mario say a little bit more, perhaps, and let the voice of Mario sound the same, but more. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. It'd be like a Metroid Other M situation where we learn about his tortured history.
Maybe.
They're going to have to get the gruff Mario for that.
We're going to find out that Mario was actually traumatized by Bowser at a very young age.
Voiced by Steve Downs.
Bad spaghetti.
The voice of Master Chief is now Mario.
Yeah.
That'll be a twist.
Well, I'm sure that they want to lean into the success of the movies, just because, I mean, what was it? Barbie surpassed the Mario movie as the top grossing movie of 2023, which is quite impressive.
Yeah, today, right?
Today.
Yeah.
But the Mario movie was obviously a grand slam. for Nintendo. Oh, yeah. It was everything they possibly could have hoped. It redefined Mario and the characters of Mario for a whole new generation of kids. Mm-hmm. And they're going to see Chris Pratt's Mario as the new Mario, right, and maybe a more talkative Mario going forward. So one way or another, I'm sure that they're rethinking how Mario is presented.
Yeah.
And that unfortunately maybe means that Charles Martinet is now a Mario ambassador.
Yeah. Mm.
Kind of a transition.
Did you ever
from
see Charles Martinet at the E3 expos where they would have, yeah, like a giant Mario head and he would be like behind the screens in the camera? So he'd, yeah, look at the audience. Like the very first E3 I went to, I remember he's like, "Oh, it's Sam Claiborne. I love your mustache." And he's just like, "Whoa, Mario is talking to Sam? What the heck? What's going on?"
I knew a guy
who's going to do that again.
I knew somebody, Anthony Parisi, who used to work for 1UP way back in the day, who would show up at every Nintendo E3 conference wearing full-on Mario getup. And my friend Bob Mackey had a picture, front page, I think, of the New York Times, of him sitting next to Anthony while, wow, he was in the Mario getup. He's like, "This is the most famous I've ever been."
That's awesome.
Do you think that this is going to significantly impact Mario Wonder?
Significantly impact Mario Wonder?
Yeah, like is Mario of Mario Wonder with this new voice? Like what does that look and sound like? Do you think it's going to feel less Mario for you if it's not Martinet?
Mm. It reminds me of when Star Fox 64 3DS came out, and I love Star Fox 64 with all of my tiny heart. And I know those lines by heart. I used to quote them all the time. And I know their exact inflection and how they're said. And they got the original voice actors for 3DS to re-record those lines in, yeah, higher bitrate because, yeah, the original version was very low quality. But it sounded wrong because they did slightly different inflections. And now we have somebody new. Who is the new Mario?
I don't know.
Yeah, we should probably find that out as journalists. We got the new Mario. Probably, maybe they'll sound similar to Charles Martinet, but a little bit off. Mm-hmm. And in that respect, it'll take a minute to get used to.
Yeah.
There would also be a new Luigi, a new Waluigi, and a new Wario because he voices, yes, all of them.
Yep.
A new, yeah, Waluigi. What were we going to do?
I don't know. That's
the defining character of our era.
He is the best.
But if we get Luigi's Mansion 4 with Charlie Day, I will buy that easily. I'll buy 20 copies.
100%. Yeah.
I will say a random fact that I happen to know is sort of about Disney, which, you know, they have obviously had multiple Mickey Mouses and multiple like Donald Ducks and Goofies and Minis over the years because Disney's been around for just that long. And I know that like whoever is the current Donald Duck is actively training a successor, and they're working like very closely together to emulate that. I know this because it might still be the case, but at one point the voice of Goofy was from Pratt, Kansas. Yay, Kansas. But yeah, so I wonder if this is a situation like that where Martinet has been working very closely with like a Mario apprentice, a baby Mario, if you will. Training. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
So maybe it'll be.
I could see that for sure.
I mean, look, when people on the internet pointed at the Wonder trailer and said, "That's a different Mario," a lot of us sort of went, "No, why would it be?"
But it might be just a little bit off. People notice. It makes me think about how a whole generation of voice actors are definitely getting up in there and getting up in age. My Rob Paulsen, who voiced characters from my childhood, like I believe Raphael and things,
yeah,
and a character from Rick and Morty and Yakko from Animaniacs, among others. You know, there's also Tress MacNeille. There's the Simpsons cast. And at some point, these voices that defined our childhood, they get old.
Yeah.
We have to find somebody to replace them. God help us if some AI like takes over instead. Oh. And Hollywood executives want that.
That's true. Yeah.
That's it. That's why he's retiring. They got an AI that can do Mario.
AI Mario.
Oh, no.
Too bad. They got him. They got him, boys.
They got all the samples. Yeah. They made him sign contract without realizing it.
It just feels slightly off. I do hope that it feels a little different, though. Am I the only one? Like, because to me, Mario, you know, he's a great mascot, but he's sort of just an avatar you control most of the time. And it would kind of be nice to see some new Mario stories where maybe he was more of a character and
a Mario RPG, you might say.
RPG, maybe a sequel to a beloved Mario RPG after a remake
like
does really well.
Mario Paper Mario Thousand Year Door for
something like
Mario
that.
Made of paper? That yeah. doesn't sound real.
I'm just thinking of like Final Fantasy 16 dialogue, but with Mario in there.
Oh my gosh.
Just like, oh man, everything's so terrible, and it's up to me, Mario. Save the
it's
kingdom.
It's a me, Mario.
That was the Mario movie.
That was kind of the Mario movie.
It was.
Yeah. I am stoked for Mario Wonder though. I feel like we should be seeing that. At some point, it's coming out in October.
It's coming out very soon.
Yeah. Like, we've seen one trailer, and I still feel like I don't know what that game is.
It's a platformer in which Mario becomes an elephant.
Great. That's all I need to
there
know.
You go.
There you go. Maybe that's why we haven't seen it. Yeah. We're like, enough said.
I mean, everyone was freaking out about Tears of the Kingdom a couple months before launch because we hadn't seen anything. Oh, no, maybe it's bad.
Maybe it's a DLC. These are words that may have come out of my mouth at some point.
Oh, Kat. Silly Kat. Okay, we forgive you.
No, thank you. I appreciate your grace on this one. I hope Super Mario Wonder is really good because I never really cared for the new Super Mario Brothers games. And this is a great opportunity to rethink the traditional 2D platformers a little bit, which I personally am biased because I grew up with those 2D platformers, especially Super Mario Brothers 3. And so I like that style a lot, and I would like to get back to that feel while also, shall we say, modernizing it a little bit.
Yeah. Brendan, you gonna play Mario Wonder?
I'll probably do that and write the guide more.
Heck yeah, Brendan.
Sweet.
We appreciate it.
Yeah, I think one of my first games I did written stuff and video stuff was like Super Mario, New Super Mario Brothers 2 on the DS.
Wow.
I think. And then I did Mario Brothers U, Mario Brothers Luigi U. So I'm really glad to get out of the new Super Mario style and try something that's trippy and psychedelic. I think it'll still be a very like, you know, straightforward story. Like, oh, Mario has to do rescuing something. So like, I don't think the voice is going to matter as much as say like the next Mario Odyssey where
there'll
probably be, you know, a lot more chances to have this Mario voice shine.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Please have good music. New Super Mario Brothers has terrible music.
Yeah.
Does it? I guess I don't remember, which is not a good sign.
Because there's the one where all the Koopas stop and dance every 5 seconds.
Yeah, it's very, it drones.
I'm stoked for the little, in the trailer, the little trumpet guy, the little flower that's like, woo!
Oh, yeah.
I do love the personality.
Yeah, it's got vibes.
New Super Mario Brothers, there are exceptions, of course. I thought New Super Mario Brothers, looked pretty good, but the new Super Mario Brothers games were a little personality free at times. And
a little milquetoast.
Yeah, a little milquetoast by Mario standards. So
they're going a little too much for the classic feel. It kind of just ended up feeling.
They did give us Nabbit, and then they never talked about him again.
Oh, yeah.
Nab things. That was his whole deal.
Do you remember Bowsette and that whole thing?
Yeah.
Bowsette set the internet on fire.
Well, you heard us, Nintendo. Super Mario Brothers Wonder. We're going to need Nabbit, we're going to need Bowsette, and we're going to need you to make the game good for us. Thank you.
And Charles Martinet, thank you for your service.
Was about. Yes. Yeah. Martinet.
Legend.
Hanging up the red cap.
Hanging up the red cap.
And the mustache.
And the mustache. But yeah.
Because it's like a cape.
Yeah. He's a really joyful person. And he seems to bring a lot of joy wherever he goes. And I'm glad that it sounds like he's going to get the opportunity to keep doing that. So, hey, thanks, Charles Martinet. So the other kind of semi-biggish Nintendo news this week is actually one I want to toss to you, Kat, for, because I think this happened when I was still not in the office. But apparently Metal Gear Solid 2 and 3 are going to have lower frame rates on Switch, and people aren't thrilled about that.
Yeah, so the Metal Gear Solid Master Collection Volume 1 is coming to Nintendo Switch. It is based on the Metal Gear Solid HD Collection that came out about 10 years ago at this point on the Xbox 360, PS3, PlayStation Vita.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Once upon a time. And it will have a host of bonus content, which is cool, including the OG Metal Gear 1 and Metal Gear 2 for 8-bit.
I love it.
Love that. However, The original games targeted 60 FPS, mm-hmm. and it's going to be lower than that.
Yeah, but just on the Switch.
Just on the Switch. We don't. I'm not sure that we actually know how it's going to be on the PS5 and the Xbox. But on the Nintendo Switch, that is legitimately disappointing, because even the HD collection was on platforms that, frankly, the Nintendo Switch should be able to match. Hmm. And Konami has a relatively good track record with their actual retro collections. They've handed a lot of them off to, for example, M2, who are very well known for their remasters. And some of them have been great, like the Castlevania collection is first rate. And so I had high hopes for this collection, especially on Switch. I was like, I'm going to get this on Nintendo Switch. And now I'm like, I don't know. Like, as much as I want to be able to play Metal Gear Solid 3 or Metal Gear Solid 2 or even the original MGS on the go, all great, amazing classic games. Have you ever played MGS games, Reb?
No, I'm Metal Gearless.
Rebecca Valentine, I don't know. I don't know if you would vibe with this series.
I want to. I want to play one, at least.
If you're going to play one, maybe wait for Metal Gear Solid Delta to come out, the remake of Metal Gear Solid 3.
Yeah, I was thinking about that one.
Which stands alone, is really great, and has the boss, is one of the greatest women in video game history. She's a boss.
Heck yeah.
Heck yeah. So yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
Maybe. But like, these games deserve the best possible treatment because they're iconic.
Yep.
They're a PringlesIcon.com.
Are they?
Yeah. And all three of them are amazing in their own way. People have their own opinions about Metal Gear Solid 2. But they've been hard to play in recent years. Mm-hmm. You can play them on Xbox, I believe, via backward compatibility.
Yep.
But otherwise, they've been mostly locked to older platforms. Now they're finally on modern platforms. The Switch could run them. This is sort of a straight dump of the HD collection, down to the fact that the preview version had 2012 on the title screens in the preview version. Do it right, guys.
Yeah.
Come on, get it to 60 FPS on the Switch. You can do it.
I'm looking at the official statement from Konami, and it does specifically say all platforms except Switch, 1080p, 60 frames per second target.
That's disappointing. So I can't recommend it on Switch then. I just can't.
My dumb conspiracy theory is that Kojima did something where they just don't know how he did it. They're like, how did he get 60 FPS? We can't port it the way. He did some magic, some eldritch magic.
There are other things as well, like in the codex, conversations, they changed some of the buttons, obviously, to match them up with the actual games. But I don't think they have new voice recordings. And so there are points where the voiceovers just cut off.
Weird.
When they're talking about the new controls and that kind of thing. Mm. And forgive me, I don't remember every single codec conversation from Metal Gear Solid, but they do.
Why not, Kat? You call yourself a video game expert?
Name all the lines.
I think the original Metal Gear Solid is not just the best original PlayStation game of all time. It's absolutely a top 25 game of all time. It's so, so good. But it adds a lot of color to that game, those codec conversations. And so to have misses like that lets me down. I think that these games deserve all the love that they can get.
Yeah.
Are they just like, Snake, you need to use these items. So press the Joy-Con button and...
It's basically like, Snake, when you receive a call, press the... And then it goes quiet and it shows a little press the minus button. And you see his mouth, Colonel Campbell's mouth still moving and everything.
Weird.
Yeah, maybe this is just because it's unfinished or something like that.
That's weird.
I think that honestly, we'll see how the final project is. The big one is definitely the 30 FPS. That's disappointing. The Switch can do better. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, do you think the Switch can do? Like, is this a Switch problem versus a Konami problem?
Who knows? Ports, as we know, are a inexact science. Yeah. We act like it's really easy when often it's not, especially when you're going across a range of hardware. And I mean, the Switch is basically an Android device. So it's not that complicated at the end of the day. And it should theoretically be able to handle 360 games, but maybe they just ran into some kind of problem.
Sure.
With the memories, where it, this is me speculating wildly, they ran into some problem and they only have so much time and so much budget, so they can't get it up to 60 FPS, so they're letting it lie. Yeah. Which, as we saw with many other Switch games, the port quality can vary wildly.
Yeah.
Some are amazing, some are not great at all.
Yeah.
I think you have to put a little love into a port in order to get it to work on Switch, but you can do that. It just seems like in this specific instance, we're not going to get that.
Yeah. Travis, you a Metal Gear guy?
I am. Yeah, I love them.
Metal Gear.
It does sound like a Konami problem to me, although I don't know. I mean, 1080p might be the thing. Like, if you wanted to make it 60 FPS, if that was the problem, you know, lower it to 720. I'm wondering if it's just that they're trying to keep it at parity across all the consoles.
So it's 1080p on the Switch in docked mode at 30 frames per second, and then in handheld mode at 720p.
So there was a 720. There was an issue about 720p. With some of these games.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, some of these games being in 720p, which was a problem for some people because that's going to just look absolutely terrible on modern displays.
Yeah.
But if it's in 1080p, that's not as bad, I don't think.
Yeah, it's not as bad. I just, if you had to choose between 60 FPS and going down to 720p.
Oh, I take frame rate every time.
Me too.
Yeah,
so
again.
It seems like, yeah. You know, if it feels to me like 1080p is
the hold up,
and yeah. I would be like, just make it 720. I mean, this is coming from a guy who never plays a Switch in docked mode. I've never. I've maybe put it on my dock like one.
I rarely play it in docked mode, mostly because I don't want to dig out my Pro Controller and actually sit there and play it. But generally speaking, I have good experiences when I play in Pro docked mode. Like Tears of the Kingdom is the kind of game I like to play in docked mode, for example. Yeah. But yeah.
Brendan, Metal Gear.
Sometimes. I love stealth games and sneaky games and just
sneaky games.
Kojima's sense of weird humor, because those games are full of it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think at the end of the day, it's unfortunate. I'd still probably play it. I'll just be like, man, this could have been better, and I'm sad about that.
Play it on a different platform.
Yep.
That too. If you have the opportunity, yeah, I would play it elsewhere.
Maybe get the PC version. I believe it's going to be on PC. I'm sure it'll have plenty of enhancements from fans.
Yeah.
I'll just play Delta. That seems like a good recommendation.
It sounds like Delta is going to be a very a faithful remake of the original game. I'm sure the hardcore fans will find reasons to be upset about Metal Gear Solid Delta.
Gamers have never been upset.
No, never. But
famously been upset.
We'll see. But like, they're even going so far as to use the original voice recordings. To not mess anything up. Speaking of voice acting.
Yeah, right? Wow.
As a theme in this episode. So we'll see. Like, we haven't had a chance to play Delta, and it will be out in 2024. So that's the one, though. Rev, play that one.
All right. I'll hang in there. I've been wanting to play a Kojima. Well, I guess that one is technically his still. Mm-hmm. I've been wanting to play a Kojima game for a long time because I've never played any of his stuff. I tried playing Death Stranding. I couldn't get past the 50 million calls from Die Hard Man God.
I think Metal Gear Solid's way better than Death Stranding.
Yep.
Apologies to Death Stranding fans. I didn't actually think that game was very good. I think I gave it a 3 out of 5 when I reviewed it for US Gamer, RIP. But Metal Gear Solid 3, I think the thing that you would really like about it is, A, the range of choice that you have in that game. It's not a sandbox game exactly, but there are a lot of ways that you can approach a given situation.
I've heard like a lot of like stories and stuff. I watch speed runs occasionally.
And they do a wonderful job of taking advantage of the medium of video games
in
clever ways.
Ludonarrative, baby!
There are some very famous moments that I would love to get your take on in Metal Gear Solid 3.
2024, we'll hang in there.
Yeah,
it's not coming to Switch, is it?
No,
that would be bonkers.
That's a PS5 and Series XS.
No.
And PC?
Probably PC.
Joint, yeah.
Maybe the new Nintendo console.
Hey!
Nintendo Switch 2.
That one that is definitely in development, probably.
Yep, for sure. it's been... So those are like the two big Nintendo stories this week, which is kind of weird and surprising, given that there's a giant video game event going on this week where you'd think there would be, you know, a bunch of news or something. Gamescom. Gamescom is happening in Germany right now. That's where, like, a lot of our regular panel...
That's where Seth is.
That's where Seth is. We're a bunch of people.
German, right?
Yeah. And we did in the last episode.
Yeah. Is that what we're
calling at the beginning of the episode.
Isn't he actually? I thought he did.
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't? Okay.
He lived in Germany for... He lived in Germany.
Wait, does he actually speak German? Am I being mean to Seth?
He served in the military.
He did. I don't remember Seth.
Look, I don't speak Japanese, but I can say some Japanese phrases. So maybe that's what he is with German.
Maybe, yeah.
Because he lived there.
I can't remember if he actually knew German or if he was just making fun of Pear.
Maybe both.
He might have been making fun of
Pear. You can never tell. Both?
Anyway, Gamescom is happening, and I wanted to briefly talk about Nintendo's presence there or lack thereof. Mm. So you covered Opening Night Live. I assume, Brendan and Travis, you watched it or are familiar with what happened at Opening Night Live. What do we have from Nintendo? Little Nightmares 3, I think, was like the... biggest Nintendo
people are excited about Little Nightmares 3.
Yeah, a lot of my phone, all my various Discord chats were blowing up for Little
it's
Nightmares
because it's
3.
Co-op. Yeah, and it's like
it has
cool
new developer though, but I'm hoping that they can pull it off.
Who's the new developer?
Supermassive. They did Until Dawn.
Okay. Interesting.
And the Dark Anthology stuff, but Tarsier, I think, was used to do. They did 1 and 2, and then the developer kind of like stopped with the series, and then Bandai's like, okay, get another developer on this. And so this is Supermassive doing a 2D, or not 2D, but side-scrolling adventure puzzle game. So it looks like it has that vibe. So
yeah.
I'm excited because I like the first two games
first
a lot.
Two are awesome.
It looks creepy. It looks interesting. It looks, you know,
it reminds me of
very,
It Takes Two.
Oh, yeah. All those like really creepy giant people trying to kill
little
you.
Little doll people.
So they
call it It Takes You.
So far, understood the assignment, I hope.
Yeah. That does look quite good.
And people really like the characters.
Yeah.
They're excited.
Yeah, they're cool.
Yeah.
Design. Yeah. A lot of hype around this one. Dark Forces,
Heck,
I guess.
Yeah.
Coming to Switch. Okay. Say more.
Heck yeah. So here's the interesting thing. Dark Forces got a really extensive fan remaster into 4K a little while ago. I played it. I have it on my PC. Looks great. Looks amazing.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, Dark Forces, which came out in the mid-90s, the first Star Wars FPS, it was made in LucasArts' own engine. It was not made in the id Software engine, the Doom engine from that time. It was basically a contemporary of Doom, but it was more advanced in many respects. It had much more of a story. Mm-hmm. It had cool LucasArts cutscenes and that kind of thing. It starred our hero Kyle Katarn as he stole the Death Star plans and then discovered an evil initiative within the Empire. The Dark Troopers... If you like The Mandalorian and you wonder where those Dark Troopers came from, they came from the video game Dark Forces.
Oh.
And let me tell you, I was replaying Dark Forces a bit when the 4K remaster came out, and that game whips. It is. It holds up magnificently. The style, the gameplay style, the graphics, all first in class. It's so much fun to play. The sound design is outstanding.
Yeah.
And it just has that classic Star Wars feel that I feel like has gotten lost in a lot of the more modern Disney stuff. This feels like a Star Wars video game. So when it comes out in Nintendo Switch, assuming that's good, which we'll see, Night Dive has generally been actually pretty solid recently, especially with the System Shock. Absolutely. I'm really happy that's available on modern platforms, and hopefully it gets more love on the Nintendo Switch than Metal Gear Solid does.
Yeah, Brendan, you said it has really good level design. You a fan?
Yeah, I played it a lot when I was growing up, and I played the 4K one this year too when it came out to go back and revisit it. And yet, it still incredibly holds up. Like I remember one of the most like iconic things to me is like one of their levels where you go investigate where like a Dark Trooper attack happened.
Yes.
And it's like this crumbling cityscape that's crawling with stormtroopers, and like you find those burnt dead bodies are like, oh, they just like copy and pasted Aunt Beru and Uncle Owen all over the place.
Oh gosh.
Which just looks like it like gives you like this like really terrifying vibe of like, what have I stumbled into? And the way they use the Death Star trash compactor monsters are in this game.
Yeah, I hated those
scenes.
And
they terrified
though.
The living hell out of me as a kid.
So I would
not go in the swamps.
I love being in the trash compactor. Wow, it's like the sewer levels. I would love for somebody to do a full-blown remake of Jedi Knight, which was one of the best first-person shooters of the 90s, but has been sort of lost to history a little bit. Mm-hmm. The OG Jedi Knight ruled.
Yeah.
Everybody remembers how in an Uncharted, you're in that scene, you're in the tilting plane or whatever it was that has the boxes flying everywhere. They did that in Jedi Knight first in 1997. Mm-hmm. I just want to point that out. So that's how good Jedi Knight was.
Yeah.
And they had really awesome FMV cutscenes.
Yeah, and they ruled because it was 1997.
The Kyle Katarn arc is, he's probably the most overpowered character in Star Wars. And I'm glad he's not canon anymore, but he's super cool at the time as a kid, you know, reading comic books.
Counterpoint, make him canon. Do it.
That's make him canon.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, they could make him canon, but he wouldn't have the same story because we have Rogue One and all the other, he overlaps a little too much.
Digitally add him like in the background of Rogue One.
I never liked
show up in Andor. He could show up in Andor season two. He'd be perfect.
Oh, heck, here we go. Jan Ors.
Yeah.
This was around the time that it was the late 90s, multimedia thing, Command and Conquer is very popular.
Yep.
And LucasArts is like, let's get in on this. We'll make Rebel Assault 2. We'll make Jedi Knight. We got to have some, full motion video. And I have to say that if they ever remade Jedi Knight, they absolutely would have to keep the FMV.
Yeah. This is very, I have no idea what this game is. This is very atmospheric. We're watching like some footage from it now. Terrific. And
it's incredible because the game starts as an FPS and then you get a lightsaber and suddenly you're in like kind of like over the shoulder mode. Yes. And just like, whoa, this changes the entire scope of the game.
Oh, yeah. So much fun. And you want to talk about good level design. There's this whole sequence that I absolutely love where you start out in a city and you can see a tower in the distance and you work your way to the tower. You climb all the way up to the tower. You battle a dark Jedi at the top of that tower and it's a great fight. So much fun. And then you get up onto the roof and you're working your way across. And the sense of continuity is so strong and so ahead of its time.
It's the thing people praise Dark Souls, the original one, for.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's excellent. Mm-hmm. So, like, you look at this here and you're like, oh, what's this all about? Is this actually good? No, it's good. Remake it.
Filing that away. Other stuff from Gamescom, Turok 3?
Yeah, Turok 3. It's happening. Also by Night Dive.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Any Turok fans in here?
I played all of them. Those are weird games.
Dinosaurs.
Yeah.
My only Turok experience is when I was like a child, like 10, 11 years old. I had a GameCube, and for my birthday, I just generically and innocently asked my parents for GameCube games, and they brought me a copy of Resident Evil 0. Because on the back of the box, they saw there was a character named Rebecca.
My God. That's so perfect.
And Turok, Dark Legacy? Something Legacy? Is that a game?
GameCube game.
Yeah, the GameCube Turok. Because the person at the video game store recommended it.
I mean, it's pretty good.
There's no Rebecca in
the game, but still, you might be
around. I tried both of them. I was so scared, and I never played it again.
Oh, I love this idea that they went to the GameStop clerk and said, hello, our young daughter is very wholesome.
Exactly.
Really wants to play GameCube games. Can you recommend? Have you heard of a little game called Turok?
Meanwhile, my Dark collection Legacy. At home is like Mario so Sunshine. Funny.
What are her other Quaker, favorite games? Animal Crossing.
Tales of Symphonia. Yeah.
She likes Animal Crossing. Great. Turok.
Yeah.
That's what I would recommend.
Like, what's her name? Rebecca? Oh, you're not going to believe this.
You want Sunny? Let me tell you about a game called Dark Legacy.
Absolute agony.
Maybe it was a prank. Maybe that guy's just super cool. Maybe he is just...
I don't understand how the front of the box didn't tip them off. I was not a dinosaur. I mean, I think dinosaurs are very cool now.
Wasn't that game rated M?
Yes, both of them are.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I was like, he should have.
Or at minimum, Resident Evil Zero is like T or something.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah, just
legend.
Real parent behavior there.
Shout out to that GameStop employee. Wherever you are.
Yeah.
You're doing good work, sir.
I'm just doing something.
This year, I decided I actually wanted to like follow hockey a little bit more than just the most casual of casuals. So I subscribed to a service that streams all of the NHL to your television, the Boston Bruins home opener. I went to watch it and boom, blackout restrictions apply, which I thought was kind of ridiculous because I'm still 200 miles away from Boston, but whatever. Had I had NordVPN, that wouldn't have been a problem. I would have just gone in, changed my settings to another geographic area, and boom, I could have been watching all the Boston Bruins home games like it was nothing at all. So now I have NordVPN, and I can watch the home games of my local teams streaming without being frustrated. It's the same thing with, like, Netflix. It has all these complicated licensing rules, which from one country to another don't really make sense. So something you could watch on South Korean Netflix, you won't be able to watch on the United States Netflix unless NordVPN, boom, switch to South Korea, and you're watching whatever Korean drama that you want. I highly recommend you do that. I haven't done it myself, but people seem to enjoy them. And who am I to try to bring down people's enjoyment? NordVPN, more than just entertainment and sports availability, it's going to protect you, especially when you're traveling, when you're using public Wi-Fi. People are trying to get in there. They're creeping on you. Bad actors, people trying to steal your password, your bank account details. Who knows what the government's doing these days? I can't keep track. They're all over the damn place. NordVPN, it's going to protect you. It's going to protect up to 6 devices because I know you have at least that many devices in front of you right now that can hook up to the internet. Boom. Fastest VPN in the world. You're not going to get any buffering. You're not going to get any lagging. It's going to stop your ISP from bandwidth throttling, which they do. That's kind of sneaky, especially how much you're paying those guys. There's threat protection to protect you from viruses and malicious malware and whatever else. Unsavory actors are out there. If you want to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/NintendoVC. That's nordvpn.com/NintendoVC. Victor Charlie. That link is also going to give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There is no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. That's nice of them, and I appreciate that.
Hi, we're Visible. We're the wireless company with nothing to hide. Seriously. Hidden fees? We don't have them. Annual contracts? Not our thing. Great wireless on just one line? Now that's more like it. Get unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month. Taxes and fees included. That's right, $25 a month, every month. Sorry, hidden fees. We're just not that into you. Sometimes the choice is just Visible. Switch today at Visible.com. Rate with service on the Visible plan. For additional terms and network management practices, see Visible.com.
And then we were going, Kat, you and I were going through a list of ONL games that were coming to Switch, and Mortal Kombat 1 was like the other thing that came up.
Surprise, surprise. That's not the one that they're showcasing.
Yeah.
Because,
no.
I forget who the studio is. They outsourced it, as you would expect. I forget who the studio is that's doing the Switch version. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it'll be, it sounds like it's going to be roughly in parity with the version coming out of PS5. Obviously, it's going to have some major graphical compromises. Mm-hmm.
The cool thing about decent port.
First of all, Mortal Kombat 1 looks great. Actually.
Yeah, it does.
I'm not a Mortal Kombat person.
Whoa.
I don't like Mortal Kombat because as much as I like Kung Fu, the fatalities actually really put me off.
They do, yeah.
Like, from personally, I find them disgusting.
It was great in, like, older Mortal Kombats when everything was, like, sort of
cartoony.
Very cartoony and removed. Cute. And, you know, someone's head's flying off and there's, like, you know, very... It's like blood spraying pixels, everywhere, but it's pixely. Yeah. It's you can distance yourself from it. It's silly. This is not as silly, really.
Mortal Kombat to me. 1 has kind of restored my respect for the series. Ed Boon, of course, legend. Yeah. I love the cutscenes.
Yeah.
I think they're terrific. I actually really like the updated aesthetic, which is due to Liu Kang apparently becoming a god and resetting the universe.
Yeah.
And Liu Kang is a lot brighter and more colorful and more cheerful, and that is reflected in his world. He's like, I'm trying to make a good world, but he accidentally, as
one does, yeah.
As usual, things aren't super great. And the combat with a K. Look how colorful this is.
The Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. The combat with a K looks quite deep, especially with the cameos and everything.
Yeah.
I think the main thing is get the frame rate right and have the full-on story, because I love that this is a full-blown cutscene driven story mode. That's cool. Yes. You don't get that very often in fighting games. And I'm curious about the invasion mode that they showed during Gamescom. Go check out our preview of that, which is described as a Mortal Kombat RPG. And I'm like, okay, I'm listening. So
yeah,
Mortal Kombat 1 is probably the most interested I've been in Mortal Kombat since like Mortal Kombat 3.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. It's been a long time since I've cared about Mortal Kombat.
Wow.
Yeah,
I think they every time they reboot the main story and they go back to the original tournament, I think those are like the best ones. Like Mortal Kombat 9 was like that, where they redid it and now they're sort of doing it again. Because I'm always surprised that they can keep the story going because it's kind of a simple
But it's not simple. It's like it the is lore is
deceptively
so
simple.
There's a whole podcast dedicated just to Mortal Kombat lore, and it's hours.
I mean, the lore is absolutely insane, but essentially it's a tournament.
It's arc. A tournament.
You're right. It's like a tournament arc. And then, it's like the simplest thing ever. But I think Mortal Kombat sort of loses people when it gets beyond the tournament arcs, because then it becomes about like, you know, going to different realms. And there was a little bit of that in Mortal Kombat 10 where you know, they were doing alternate storylines and people's kids were in it. And
I was watching a friend play it and she was like explaining all these people to me. And I was, it was like going down a Wikipedia rabbit
it's
hole.
It's so involved, but everybody understands the premise.
Oh, I hate this one.
That's the worst one right there.
This is why I can't play this game.
Yeah, no.
I was not watching on videos. We just saw a very unfortunate execution.
It's still too much for me.
She's about to kill someone with her weave.
No, thank you.
I will say it's funny that, like, I really love what they do with the story in the last couple of games.
Yes.
They focus on these stories. But it will never not be funny when it's like they make you fight to advance a story. So it's like, you have these crazy fatalities and just rip out someone's spine and go, all right, let's talk for a minute, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
And then just go back to like talking like the map. Like,
dude,
I obliterated
my spine.
My spine
is disconnected.
Skull.
You saw that. You saw the X-ray. You know what I mean? Like, you know I should
be friends
dead.
Now.
How many times have they had their spine ripped out? I ask you.
A lot.
I grew up in the 90s, and it was right in the midst of the Mortal Kombat violence controversy, which started congressional investigations,
sure did.
And I think led directly to the ESRB as we are today. And I was firmly a Street Fighter kid. I liked the anime and Chun-Li and Ken and all. And to me, Mortal Kombat 2 was kind of like the one where the dirtbag 90s kids were playing, who would be like, look.
That was me. I was in the dirt.
Look how they ripped the spine out. Whoa, it's hardcore. Look at all that cartoon blood. Wow. And I'm like, but I like the Street Fighter, which is much more technically sophisticated than Mortal Kombat. And now I think there is room for both to live in the hearts of fighting games.
I agree.
It's no longer a competition like when it was back in the day.
Yeah, it was hardcore because the audience was so small. I remember I was like 4 years old when that game came out, and some of my older brothers were like playing it, you know, secretly, and they were like, you don't want no part of this, you know what I mean? I was like, no, let me in there. And I got in there, and I was like, this is sick. Like, I didn't know games were allowed to do this.
This was the GTA of the 90s.
It really was. Yeah, it was.
Oh, yeah. But that's like, that's kind of it for Gamescom. I mean, there's more things on the show floor that our folks who are out there have been seeing this week. And we've got our whole show going on, and I'm sure there's more games for Switch sort of being shown throughout the week.
It's much more Xbox focused show.
It's Opening Night Live itself was not Nintendo heavy, and I mean, their big fall game is Mario Wonder.
Say arguably the biggest news of the show is Larian announcing that it has struck a deal
that was
basically
crazy
with Xbox to get Baldur's Gate 3 out, because it's done.
Yeah.
It's ready to go.
It's just the split screen
huge
thing
miss on Xbox
split screen thing
to ever let it get this far, where it was launching on all the other places but not on their
platform. That was making them look real silly.
Yeah.
I'm sure that our friends on Podcast Unlocked have plenty of thoughts.
I'm sure they do.
This is a Nintendo podcast.
That's right. And I actually want to move on and chat a little bit about what all we've been playing, Nintendo or not. I'm actually going to start because my thing is very short, but I wanted to tell you all. Well, first I wanted to say I've been playing Sea of Stars, which is all I can say about that. I have been playing it. But the reason why I mention it is because on next week's show, we're going to have one of the developers from Sabotage here on the show to talk about Sea of Stars. Awesome. So if you are stoked about Sea of Stars and want to hear a few of us, I think it's me, you, Kat, and Jada come in here and talk about our experiences with Sea of Stars and talk to one of the devs, tune in next week for Sea of Stars. But the other story I wanted to tell is I got married this weekend.
Yay.
This weekend.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Congrats.
Thank you. Thank you. And my husband, but my partner and I we can't dance. We're not good at dancing. And so we made a valiant attempt at, instead of having a first dance, having a first Pokemon battle. And we did it in Sword and Shield because he didn't play Scarlet and Violet, but he did play Sword and Shield. So I wanted to give him like a fighting chance with his team. And we both spent like weeks working on teams. Like we EV trained them. We like crafted them. We were doing like themed teams around like our relationships.
So I respect the energy of this.
I had like Pokemon referencing like dates we'd been on and inside jokes. We both, we found out after the fact we had both made, cause we have two cats. We'd both put our two cats on our teams.
Which cats?
Luca and Robo are our cats. I see.
Cat Pokemon.
I had Glaceon and Umbreon, and had Purloin and the Meowth that's in Sword and Shield, the Galarian Meowth.
The Galarian Persian.
Yeah, whatever that thing is. I don't remember. But anyway, we put so much work into this, and we were so excited to do this. And like, I tested it at home and everything worked. We got to the venue and set it up, and we could not connect to battle.
No.
We tried both local and online because there was like a perfectly good Wi-Fi network that multiple people were connected to for other things, because we were like using it to play music and do other stuff. So like, every single thing should have been working. We even, like, it even got as far as, like, we were connected, we were friends, and I could see him pop up, and it was like, Imran's looking for people to battle. And I tried to, but I was just completely unable to connect with him. My Switch just would not find him. We tried both local and online. We had seriously like 30 games adjacent and games media people in the room with us all trying to troubleshoot this problem, and we could not get it to work.
No.
So this is just me saying to the world, to the universe, to Pokemon and Nintendo, good Lord, please fix your multiplayer play for the next Pokemon game, because
it's wild.
It's tearing families apart at this point.
Yeah. No, it's really awkward. Okay.
That's
I just terrible. Think wedding venues hate gamers. When I got married, I tried to have this thing where, you know, people would sit down at the beginning and they're playing music. I tried to like put up like you know, fairy fountain music from like the Zelda games, like the Lon Lon Ranch, and can I set the mood? It never worked out. I'm just like, aww, this is the one thing I wanted. Just this, you know, this classy,
yeah,
you know, cute music and games. Didn't work
no,
out.
No, I mean, it can't. I thought the music, he walked into a piano rendition of the Final Fantasy VII main theme, and I walked into Kainé Salvation.
I thought that worked out for you.
Don't laugh at that. Why are you laughing at that? That's not funny.
It's great.
It's nice. It's romantic.
It is nice.
It's very romantic.
We kissed, and the Pollyanna from Earthbound played.
It's great.
Oh, yeah.
It was nice. Great. But Pokemon didn't work. So our backup plan was okay, I just want to say, if we'd done Pokemon, I totally would have won.
Of course.
I would have.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Like, everybody knows I would have won Pokemon.
Sorry, Imran.
As a backup, we did Smash Brothers, which he is already much better than me, and I have not played Smash Brothers in like a year. So he did beat me at Smash. He played.
Dang. But it was close.
It was close. I did have him on the ropes there for a second. If I had just made it, I was
She had such a comeback.
Yeah.
She got him out, and then she did the thing with the reticle.
Where you collect the parts of the ship. Because we did do items on, because we're both chaos people.
And she got them.
Yes, good.
Yeah,
everybody was like, oh! It was very close.
I also got a Smash Ball twice, but I failed to build a house on him. But I was villager. I failed to build the house on him.
I would have ruled.
Yeah, I missed. So he was very...
Did you do the ceremonial tossing of the Wavebird behind you after the match? So that you're right to
Imran
catch it?
Was Sephiroth, because he's a power gamer.
He is a power gamer.
Wow.
I was playing as villager because she's wholesome.
Yeah. Oh.
The underdog.
Winner gets to choose the honeymoon location.
At one point, everybody was chanting Reb, Reb, Reb.
That's right.
Like in Smash Brothers.
Well, because they're rooting for the underdog.
Yeah.
I knew I was not.
We were all rooting Smash. For you.
I really did think for a split second, I was like, oh, I might actually get him. Wouldn't that be a fun wedding upset?
Yeah.
No, that didn't happen.
Dang.
But yeah, rest in peace to our Pokemon battle that did not happen because Nintendo's multiplayer is not good.
Ooh.
Kat.
Hi.
What have you been playing lately? Or doing, really?
Not Nintendo Switch, actually.
Oh.
I could theoretically be playing some games on Switch. I've been playing my Steam Deck a lot.
Yeah?
A ton. Yeah. So it comes in waves. Like, my Steam Deck will do... I will never touch my Steam Deck for ages.
Yeah.
But then I was in New York recently, and I brought my Steam Deck with me, and I put Baldur's Gate 3 on it. And this was mostly because I felt obligated to play some Baldur's Gate 3 for my other podcast. And to my great surprise, it's not amazing on Steam Deck, but it's perfectly playable and workable. And I was like, this is fine. And so actually I've played the bulk of Baldur's Gate 3 time on the Steam Deck and had a good time with it. It's a great portable game.
Yeah,
I have to say. I'm in Act 2 at the moment. I am fully obsessed with it.
It's so good. It's
all I want to play, really, which is amazing because I'm literally at the end of Tears of the Kingdom and I still haven't finished it. It's still there. I'm like, I'm going to finish this game, I swear. But Baldur's Gate 3 is what I'm all about. I also got Armored Core 6 on my Steam Deck, and I started playing that one. I got through the opening mission, which I had already played as part of another event. And one of the early bosses, basically the tutorial section. And it's great. It runs extremely well on my Steam Deck. Looks fantastic. The only thing that I would say is not super amazing is the text. But
small.
It's pretty small.
Pretty small.
But all things considered, yeah, a lot of Steam Deck time at this moment. Probably I'll return to my Switch soon enough, like when Mario comes out. By and large, like I like getting indies and such onto my Switch, if possible. Like Sea of Stars is a game that I would like to play on my Switch, if possible. Things like that.
Yeah.
Space for the Unbound.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have that on my Steam Deck. I wish I had on my Switch.
Mm.
But mostly because the Steam Deck for me is very heavy. Yeah. I've also been playing my Analog Pocket a bunch recently. I got...
handhelds that aren't the Switch.
It's handhelds that are not the Switch is my theme this week. I got Donkey Kong 94, which is, a lot of people say that's like one of the absolute best Game Boy games.
It is.
Period. Like,
super underrated.
It's
super underrated.
It starts off as a fairly traditional Donkey Kong game, and then it suddenly starts going off in weird directions.
You're not the first person who is like praise Donkey Kong 94 to me recently.
It's so... this was actually one of the first games I ever became obsessed with. I was like in grade school when that game came out, and I played it until I got everything. It's so addictive. Such a good game.
Yeah, and it looks great on the Analog Pocket. And also...
it's also on the Switch, actually.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you can play it through one of their virtual things. I think it's in the original Game Boy black and white version.
Interesting.
So it wouldn't be the version being showed here. It's like actual black and white, but it's perfectly... good, it works.
Here's the thing. The Analog Pocket, in my view, is the best way, short of playing it on a classic CRT, like the way it was meant to be, it's the best way to play like an NES or Super NES game.
Yeah.
Because I got an FPGA course on there, and I've been playing a lot of SNES games and NES games in the name of game preservation on my Analog Pocket, and Super Mario World, R-Type 3... Third Lightning.
I played Mother 3 entirely on the Analog Pocket.
The OG Castlevania. They look so good.
Yeah.
And I like that the screen ratio works a lot better for me than the Nintendo Switch. I own so many copies of these games. I own the original copies of them on actual platforms. I own them on Switch. I've owned them on like every platform. The Analog Pocket is where I like to play them. And what's cool is that you can also get randomizers on there as well. You can get the Legend of Zelda Link to the Past / Super Metroid randomizer onto your
that thing
Analog
is
such
Pocket.
A fun ride.
So good. So, and Pokemon Crystal. We were playing Pokemon Crystal as part of the charity stream recently, and I was playing that on my Analog Pocket, and you can stream directly into
That rules.
A PC. So good. Anyway, I love my Analog Pocket with all of my tiny heart.
Yeah, I just got the dock for it to play with.
Excellent. On TV. I'm waiting for the PC Engine extender.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I want to get... It's a lot of great shmups.
There are, yeah. I was playing the Pokemon pinball game for some reason.
Oh, it's
you ever
so
just
good.
Get something in your head where you're like, I just got to go back.
I want to play the Pokemon TCG, which I believe...
I have that. I have it.
Is it on Switch Online? No.
I don't know, but I have the original
game. It's coming soon.
That's, the game's super underrated.
Yeah.
Really.
I want to circle back, Kat, because you had mentioned playing Baldur's Gate. And Brendan, I believe you were also playing Baldur's Gate 3 in a very unique and specific way that I am also playing it in. But I want to hear about your experience.
Yeah, since I'm doing a lot of redacted work on guides, Baldur's Gate 3 is kind of like my, I don't have a lot of time for it. So what I'm doing with my friends is they coerced me, what if we just play once a week co-op? I'm like, okay, but I'm not going to play outside of co-op. It's just
it's like a D&D session.
Exactly. It's my only experience. I think they played a little bit of single player, so they might know more things than I do at some points. But I'm taking it to heart by being the wild card and just making trouble. So I picked a little dragon boy. one of the very first things I did in a crypt we went to is we were getting overwhelmed. And I'm like, all right, that's it. They're kind of near this oil barrel. Hey, I'm a dragon guy. I'm going to just breathe fire on it. Died.
Amazing.
Exploded myself, but I killed most of them. So they had to resurrect me. And then later we came across a dying squid face thing. Mm-hmm. It was trying to mind control me. Mm-hmm. And they were like, hey, I think it wants to kiss you. You should totally smooch it. I'm like, all right.
Uh-oh.
Heck so yeah.
I heard that there have been speed runs for lovemaking percent, as they say. I think I beat that record because I did it right in the start of Act One, where I made out with a squid face.
What happens if you make out with the mind flare?
It literally drains all your life and kills you, and then regenerates to full and attack the rest of my friends.
Amazing.
So I took a dirt nap. Awesome. I was like, this is all you guys. So I'm making lots of trouble and I'm having a blast with it.
It's the best way to play it. Like, I mean, I am also playing in co-op and playing with my partner, and I'm playing as a bard, and I have a really hard time playing games that offer choices as an evil character. I find it very, very unpleasant to do that. So I don't, but I wanted to play something a little bit. I just want to be a standard nice goody two shoes. So my rule for this session of Baldur's Gate 3 is that I'll play my nice character, whatever. But if there's a silly option, I have to always take the silly option. So I recently stumbled upon a village of fish people who were worshiping a fake murder god. I was able to detect that this murder god was not a real god. It was somebody in disguise. And so I managed to get the whole village to turn on their murder god by doing a bard performance and pretending that I actually am the real god of murder and they should listen to me and kill the intruder. And so they did that. And then they asked me, what are your orders, oh god of murder? And I said, maybe less blood sacrifice. And they said, okay, strangulation. Got it. So, silly stuff like that. I'm having a great time.
What a great game.
One thing I like that I wouldn't normally do, if I was playing single player like this or other RPGs, I sometimes save scum. I'll just oh, that didn't work out. I better redo things. But with a group, we committed, if something goes wrong, we're just going to roll with it. And things have gone wrong so many ways.
Oh, yeah.
We have gotten entire settlements killed. And we're just like, all right, sorry guys, let's see what happens next.
Yep.
And I was just like, yeah, I would have reloaded this in an instant if I was playing by myself. I screwed up.
It's really fun to relax and treat it like a D&D session in that regard, and just let yourself be okay with the consequences.
And knowing this game can account for that is it's a breath of fresh air to go yeah, we screwed up, but the game will find a way to make this story still even more interesting as a result of it. Instead of going oh, well, now you're screwed and you can't really progress because you've done something bad.
Yeah.
Reb, what's your what's your class?
I'm a bard.
You're a bard?
Yeah.
Pure bard?
Yeah.
You're not multi-classing?
Not at this time. I might later on.
I've been experimenting a lot with multi-classing, and right now I'm running a paladin warlock.
Mm-hmm.
But for whatever reason, so the paladin part seems to have defined my character. So now I talk like a paladin.
Funny.
It was very religious, and I don't know what to make of this.
It's not what exactly... god are you worshiping?
Oh, I got the Oath of Ancients.
Okay.
So I guess I worship nature.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I'm okay with, which means that's that fine. The mushroom people really like me.
Yes.
But I don't know how I feel about playing this specific character, and if I ever replay Baldur's Gate 3, which is not out of the realm of possibility, despite it being like a 100-hour RPG, I would kind of want to role play a lot more rather than power gaming, which I am very much power gaming at the moment.
Yeah.
I want to play the Dark Urge character at some point. That just sounds like really fun. If, like, I might murder people by accident, so let's see how long I can resist that.
Yeah. I mean, I already feel like I've murdered a lot of people by accident just playing as a regular bard. True. You know, what's a few more?
True that.
And then Travis, you played a game that I'm very interested to hear about. Is it Palia? Is that how we say it out loud?
Actually, I call it Palia, but the game developer told me that they intentionally don't have a correct pronunciation.
Well, that explains why I'm confused. Now I feel better about it.
Potato, potato. So they were like, yeah, we don't, you pronounce it however you want. But yeah, it's called Palia. It is the world's first cozy MMO RPG. So it's sort of like if you like games like Animal Crossing or Disney Dreamlight Valley, a community building type game, except for it's massively online multiplayer game, and it is coming to Switch, which is why I thought it was a relevant topic of conversation here. It's currently in its beta, so it's only on PC right now, but we actually got a scoop this morning, which is they gave IGN exclusive demo of the first in-game event that's happening, which is a night market called Maji Market, where you can go and eat some foods, and they've got that little, if you're watching on video, there's like a little groundhog thing that's running around. You get to chase these groundhogs in a new activity called the Choppa Chase. You have to run around and catch all these groundhogs and put them back in their petting zoo pen, and you earn tickets and unlock prizes, and it's a super cool and really unique, and it's also kind of bizarre that they're still in the beta and they're doing limited time live events,
yeah,
which I think is unprecedented in live service games. So that's usually something you do once you get to 1.0. But the developer told us that they're doing these early in the beta because they want to iron out the kinks and make sure that their events when they're a 1.0 is a little, you know.
Yeah, they're testing them out. They're
testing them out and making sure the economy feels right and all that. And then, that's going live next week. And if you are a Switch player who likes games like Animal Crossing, this is one you should definitely keep an eye on. I previewed it, so I played like 40 hours, and I did it with my fiance. My fiance is still playing. She's at like 300 hours in this game.
Whoa.
She is obsessed. So it's one of those games you can just sink a ton of time into, and you also make friends. The community is so nice. Like, it's one of those
nice online community.
Yeah, it's one of those games where you're gathering resources, and people will type into the chat, hey, I found like a valuable resource. Everybody come over here and hit it once so that we can all get credit for it. And when I found out that was happening, I was like, yo, that is unprecedented.
Yeah, MMOs. That's
like MMOs, it's like, I'm not gonna wait for you, I'm getting this ore or whatever. But they all like gather around and help each other out, and it's just very wholesome. So
this looks exceedingly pleasant.
It's very fun, and you know, you play it with friends, and it's also got like you can see here there's some actually, I think this is my preview footage. See there that tree is regenerating its health, so it requires two people to cut it down. So they do certain things that force you to work together. Fishing, for example, if you fish together, you get buffs if you're fishing as a group, and can get rare fish. And then also it's got dating sim mechanics. It's got romance options. You can build up your relationships and eventually get a girlfriend or a boyfriend or whatever. And you can date robots too.
I can date the robot.
You can date the robot if you want. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's actually multiple robots.
Heck yeah.
So yeah, it's a really, really cool game that I'm glad we're covering a little bit. So
there's one thing that game developers have learned: if players want to date the robot, let them date the robot.
Let us smooch as many things as possible, which I do hear Baldur's Gate 3 also does.
That is true. You can even
smooch a squid.
Don't do it.
Not recommended.
Yeah, this looks really nice. Do we know, is it eventually coming to Switch?
It's already been announced. Actually, Switch is the only other platform it's been announced for besides PC, so they know their audience.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, this has big Switch
energy. This is a huge Switch game. So,
really?
Such a Switch game.
I honestly think Switch is going to be their main platform, and they're sort of using PC to just do their testing, because that's the easiest platform for testing. But, like, I fully expect this to be, like, a most people play on Switch type of game when it gets its full launch, which I don't think they've announced when it is, but I assume it'll probably be spring of next year. And, yeah, it's definitely one to keep an eye on if you love community sims, Stardew Valley, dating sim, any of that stuff. And it's also don't be scared by the MMO part. You can ignore it if you want, but I do actually think it plays to the strengths. It feels more like a community, you know, when there's actually other people running around that are real humans. So it's really cool.
Nice,
really
humans at that.
Yeah.
And they're nice, which is surprising to me, because I was like, yo, that is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wild. It's wild, but it's cool.
All right. Yeah. It might have enticed me. I was already kind of interested, but maybe I'll make an effort to squeeze in some time with that. Guess what? We have time for question block today,
nice.
Which I know the Ninfriendos love. From Brett Taranzo, does PlayStation Portal feel like a baby step back into handheld gaming for Sony? And should Nintendo care at all about another handheld device, even a streaming machine like the Portal, after the Steam Deck's success? Mm. Kat, I really want your take on this, since you have been discussing the wide variety of handheld gaming devices available.
I love my handheld devices.
Yeah.
I remember many years ago, people making fun of me for being a Nintendo DS fan. Well, they're like,
who's making fun of you for that? The DS is great.
DS rocks.
My colleagues at GamePro.com back in the day.
Hey, like, GamePro.com.
At the time, it seemed like Nintendo, like dedicated handheld gaming was destined to go away and be completely replaced by mobile gaming. And instead, I live in the world that I want, which is Nintendo Switch and Analog Pocket and Steam Deck and all that stuff. I
couldn't have been more wrong.
Yeah. I have literally no interest in the PlayStation Portal because I don't care for cloud streaming devices. I think that actually the PS5's cloud streaming is better than most. Mm-hmm. I know of somebody who has a PlayStation 5, for example, that they stream PS5 games to their PS4 in their bedroom and are perfectly fine with it, as long as they have a good internet connection. And I think that is sort of similar to what they're doing. Is they're really tapping into the backbone market.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not familiar with backbone's basically a mobile phone. You plug your mobile phone into a game controller, mm-hmm. and then you can stream a lot of games onto it. And it's a good experience, actually, but it's not one that I particularly want, I think. So maybe people will want to spend $200 on this thing. I'm not super hyped for it. What was the second part of the question?
Should Nintendo care at all about another handheld device, even a streaming machine like the Portal, after the Steam Deck's success?
Well, I think that Nintendo has hit on an amazing formula with the Nintendo Switch. Maybe the perfect formula. In being able to dock to your television and play portably. And as long as they don't maybe mess up that formula by, I don't know, removing backwards compatibility or removing the ability to have to make it dock only or something like that, I think they should be perfectly fine. Sure seems like a lot of developers have realized the power of dedicated handhelds and are following the lead of the Switch. The Switch is the leader.
Yep.
In this particular instance. You know what this kind of reminds me of, actually? Do you remember second screens, like the big push to second screens when Nintendo had the Nintendo DS and the Wii U, and everybody's like, we'll just let you control stuff from the map using your iPad.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah. That was weird.
That lasted for like a minute.
Yeah, no. Yeah,
it was a pretty bad idea.
This is what cloud gaming remote play reminds me of a little bit.
Yeah. I think it's more of like a streaming play for them, because there's that. I think it's almost like a war on the Xbox, X Cloud. You can play on your cell phone with a controller thing. I think that's who this is directed at.
Wow.
I don't the Wii U.
Remember
wow.
the looking Wii U? We're looking at footage of the Wii U right now.
The Wii U.
Love that thing.
I still have my Wii U, man. I don't have to say.
Do you?
I
you
do, too. Yeah. Yeah. It's the Zelda, the Wind Waker one.
Remember looking at other things that are the game I'm supposed to be playing to play the game.
Yeah. I mean, I will say this. At least the second screen with the Wii U made sense in some of their, like, Nintendo Land is legit.
Nintendo Land rule.
It's
Nintendo
awesome.
Land is one of the best games ever made.
Wow, look at that.
It's a big Switch. Claim. It is yeah. very good.
I mean, that was
maybe like, not, but it's in first in my heart.
It's
it
quite
was,
good.
It was the ultimate party game when it came out, and I think it made the second screen make sense.
It did.
And then nobody followed up with that ever again. They just completely forgot that existed. And I think PlayStation's more looking at streaming. I don't know if Nintendo, maybe they should care that there's more players in the market, but I think if we've learned anything about Nintendo, it's that they don't care. Nintendo, gonna Nintendo, and I think that they'll continue to do that, and this doesn't really change their strategy. But I do think maybe it makes Xbox think.
What's so funny is that Xbox is kind of moving away from the cloud gaming stuff themselves. Like a big part of getting their Activision Blizzard deal done is that they are basically compromising the cloud business, which hasn't been as big for them as they wanted it to be. It's all about kind of classic mobile gaming for them in so many ways. So maybe PlayStation's targeting Xbox and the cloud gaming. Maybe someday cloud gaming will be a thing, but that future is definitely not materialized, certainly in the way that maybe Xbox expected at the beginning of the generation.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I think that Nintendo doesn't have anything to worry about now. I do think they should probably be aware that their competitors are looking at the handheld space, especially as we start thinking about moving into the next generation. Right now, Nintendo's kind of the second screen of choice for people, or the secondary device of choice for people. I don't know. Maybe PlayStation or Xbox will have some bigger ideas down the line that they should be a little wary of.
I think, you're seeing some of the weirdly other players, like the Republic of Gamers Ally, or Rogue sounds good to me, it's like it's Rogue Ally. You see them. I would consider those much closer competitors to what this is doing, because to me this is exactly what you said. It's like the things where you
the backbone
right, where you strap the controller onto the phone. That's what this kind of reminds me of, and it also has the same sort of tech where it's really about the display, not about any hardware in the device. And I mean Switch has the fact that you're playing the Steam Deck more than you're playing the Switch right now is certainly something that Nintendo should care about, but I don't see a player like you ever ditching the Switch for this sort of device. I just don't.
No,
I don't think that's it's really even
not as long as you can play Mario on it.
Yeah. It sure seems like it's. I'm not sure what the market is, because geared for super hardcore PlayStation
people who want to play God of War.
People who have $200 to burn on another screen.
See, I thought that too. I thought it was for hardcore PlayStation players because they'll just buy anything that goes with their PlayStation. But I also think that PlayStation hardcore people really don't like streaming games because they don't use a lot of the streaming services PlayStation has come up with in the past, like PlayStation Now game streaming. Everybody hated that, even though they probably have the best streaming service currently available. But none of them are, I feel like people who go out of their way to buy a console, they do it so that they don't have to be like a streamer type gamer. You know what I mean? They don't want that level of
I don't think quality. People want to stream. I think that crossplay is the main thing that people want, and especially as mobile devices keep getting more and more powerful, you'll just see more Genshin Impact situations in which a game is just available on everything and you can play it on any device that you want. You're not necessarily streaming it, but it's like, well, I'm playing it on my mobile device now. Now I'm playing it on my TV. Cool, whatever.
Yeah.
We unfortunately have to leave that discussion hanging a little bit because that is all the time that we have left. I'm so sorry for this week's NBC. Before we go, I have a few favors to ask. If you're watching us on YouTube, leave us a like and a nice comment, especially one that says nice comment. I love that. If you're listening to us on a podcast app, please leave us a review. It helps us spread the good NBC word, and we'll be forever in your debt. Thank you so much, Kat, Travis, and Brendan, for joining me today. And remember, NBC is the only place you can
get the thing.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And, spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's H-Y-P-E-R-T-H-E-T-I-C-A-L.